Let's open in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and Lord, that he came willingly out of love for us, that he gave himself for us. And Lord, we thank you for that blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're continuing our sermon series on the value of the blood of Christ. This is part three, and we're going to go over obviously some things that we've looked at previously and also some new things as well. This is a very, very important doctrine, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find that it's mentioned right through the New Testament, so it's not a small doctrine, and it's related intricately to our salvation. Because the blood of Christ was the payment that was made for the debt of sin. And that payment has indeed brought us into the kingdom of God, out of darkness, into the kingdom of God. We've been bought with a price, that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible also tells us in Acts 20, 28, we won't turn to that, but we've already looked at that, that God purchased the church with his own blood. So there was a definite price. There was a definite debt, and we're going to look at a little bit more detail today about just how valuable it was for us that the blood of Christ was paid. But let's go over a little bit on what we've looked at. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, let's look at that. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. It's always important to be looking into the scriptures to be able to see for ourselves what the Lord has to say to us about things and to keep it in our mind, in our memories, so that we don't forget it. Colossians 1, 12 to 14, giving thanks unto the Father. So we should be thankful in our lives. We should be thanking God every day, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Praise the Lord. So we should be thanking the Lord. He's made us so that we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's another reason why we should be thanking God. Thank you, Lord, you've delivered me from the power of darkness and you've translated me, that means put me into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom, talking about in the Lord Jesus Christ, his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, praise the Lord. The word redemption talks about purchase, and we have been purchased from that debt of sin, which we could never pay, and it was only God that could pay, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If there wasn't the redemption through his blood, there would be no purchase, there would be no redemption, there would be no forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is absolutely crucial. We're going to learn today that where sin is, there is judgment. And the judgment of God also is manifested in the wrath of God or the anger of God against sin. So sin cannot be with a holy God. We must understand this. And God is holy, God is righteous, God is perfect and pure. Praise God. Look at also Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Death is not extinction, as some people think. Oh, you're dead and that's it. That's the end of everything. No, death is separation. The physical death is separation of the inner man from the outer man, and eternal death, or the second death as the Bible calls it, is separation of a person from God. You don't want to be going into eternal death, which leads people into hell, obviously. God has seen that this is the major problem with man. The wages of sin is death. The wages talks about the debt that has been incurred because of sin is death. That had to be answered. That had to be paid. We saw that that was paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look also at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Ephesians 1, 5 to 7. It says here, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have, there we see it again, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Praise the Lord. Notice that we are children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. God wanted us in his family. He wanted us in his family. Praise the Lord. And notice what verse 6 says, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now we are accepted in God. We're accepted and we're no longer strangers from God if we've been born again. We're no longer out of his will, but now we've been accepted into the family of God. Praise the Lord. And it's based on verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have that salvation purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and that's based or according to the riches of his grace. See, grace is his favour and blessing towards us. And it says, according to the riches of his grace, the riches of his grace. And that shows us how valuable the blood of Christ was. It came out of the riches of his grace. Glory to God. The riches of his favour and blessing towards us. So we have redemption through his blood. We've been accepted in the beloved. And it's because of his good pleasure, the pleasure, good pleasure of his will. He wanted to do this. He could have said, well, man has rebelled, therefore I'll do nothing. No, he didn't do that. Even before the foundation of the world, he had a plan. He knew that man was going to sin, but he had a plan so that there was a way back to God. There was a way so that sin didn't have the final say, didn't have the final dictate according to where man was to go. Now, God wants free will from people freely to come to him. He's never forced anyone to be saved. So sin has a price, and it's death, separation. All have sinned. We know that salvation answers this price, which is through the blood of Christ. There is a price that had to be paid to cancel the debt of sin. We have been bought with a price, which is the blood of Christ. And what we're going to look at in more detail today, this has appeased the wrath of God upon sin. We cannot underestimate the fact that the wrath of God is manifested and will be manifested upon sin. Let's look at Romans 1 verse 18. So we're looking at new material now. Romans 1 verse 18. And we see a statement here that tells us that sin has to be answered. Sin is rebellion to God and his word. Sin is going against God. Okay? So sin is out of God's will. Romans 1 verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So we see that all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men has the wrath of God on it. All, not some, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So all sin has the wrath of God on it. And this is important for us to see, because we're going to see scripture which shows that the blood of Jesus Christ has saved us from the wrath of God now. We don't have to go through the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is a very real thing. And it's mentioned many, many times throughout the scriptures. We're going to look at a few more scriptures which tell us this, makes it very clear. And when we think about the value of the blood of Christ, that blood has saved us from the wrath of God. We'll see a very clear scripture which says that later. Look at John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Now, we've all seen John chapter 3. We know John 3, verse 16. Many of us, in fact, all of us, should be able to quote this off by heart. John 3, 16 to 18. Now, let's put this in the right context. Some people quote John 3, 16 and says, well, God is a God of love, and they leave it there. Yes, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. Okay? And it's because he's a God of love that he's extended his mercy out towards people as a gift for them to accept. Remember we read before, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now we need to understand what this is saying. Verse 16 says, or tells us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, God saw that the world lieth in wickedness. The Bible tells us that the world lieth in wickedness. It is filled with sin. Sin entered into the world, we know, according to Romans 5, by Adam's sin. It says sin and death entered into the world. But we see here that there is a condition. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So there's an act of believing, of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, so that they don't perish. What happens if a person doesn't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't believe in him? Well, go to verse 36. We'll come back to verse 16 to 18 in a minute. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's present tense. So once you believe on the Son of God, once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have received him as your Saviour, you have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Why does the wrath of God abide on that person if they don't believe on the Son? Because that person has not received the gift of God. They have not received the redemption that pays for their sin. And because of that, that debt of sin is on them, and the wrath of God abideth on them. In other words, they remain under the condemnation. If you look at verse 17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What does that tell us? It tells us that the world was condemned already because the world was in sin. Sin had entered into the world was condemned already, and that the Lord sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save the world. Why? Because the world needed saving. Why did they need saving? Because they're in sin. The world is made up of sinners. Sinners are servants of sin. And there is condemnation already upon sin. And we should understand this. Verse 18 tells us that. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So in other words, the condemnation on sin is dealt with. There's no longer do we have to go through that judgment on sin, because it's dealt with through the free gift of God, of eternal life, redemption. But he that believeth not is condemned already. If a person is not believing on the Son of God, they're condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can you see how important it is for a person to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive what he has done for them as a gift? God is extending it out. They need to receive it. They need to come and say, Lord, I bow the knee and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him as my Saviour. Repent of sin. He is now my Saviour from sin. And that means that then you're not condemned because the sin problem is dealt with. Praise the Lord. If a person doesn't believe, then according to verse 36, it says, the wrath of God abideth on him, or stays. That word abideth means stays on that person. Let's continue on looking into the scriptures. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. Romans 5, 8 to 10. This is why we cannot say, well, yeah, they've lived a good life, so therefore they'll go to heaven. No, that's not the basis that a person goes to heaven. The basis of a person going to heaven is, have they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ or not? Have they had that sin problem dealt with? Have they received redemption through the blood of Christ? If they haven't, then the wrath of God stays on them, abides on them. If you look at Romans chapter 5, look from verses 8 to 10. Verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love, we read that before, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, I mentioned before in a previous sermon that the blood of Jesus Christ gives life to the body of Christ. Just like in your physical body, the Bible tells us that there is life in the blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ gives life to the body of Christ. But we see here in verse 8, God commended his love toward us. You know, God could have said, well, they're sinners. They rebelled against me, therefore I'll just leave it. But that's not the case. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a wonderful act of love that God did for us. And verse 9 is a crucial one for us to understand what happened. Being now justified or made right before God by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Remember that if a person doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, the Bible tells us through by his blood we shall be saved from wrath. We no longer have the wrath of God abiding on us. We're saved from that wrath. We no longer have to go to hell, which is a place where the wrath of God is manifested. We're saved from that wrath. And wrath, of course, is a great anger and righteous anger against sin. Verse 10 says, you know, there was a time when we were enemies because we weren't reconciled to God. You know, enemies are those that are not reconciled. There's a difference between them. But now, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that difference, that sin difference, has been reconciled, and we now are able to come to God. We're able to fellowship with God. We're able to have cleansing by the blood of Jesus, as we know. We're now able to, in the family of God, grow in him and go forward into eternal life. That means living with God forever. It's completely the opposite of death. Death is outside of God. Death is separation from God. So we see here that, and let me just quote verse 9 again, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We see the blood of Jesus Christ is that crimson thread that goes right through the whole of the Bible and particularly right through the New Testament because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. God purchased the church with his own blood. Therefore, when we think of the blood of Christ, we should think of it as what the Bible says, precious, very valuable, very valuable, very precious. Look at verses 18 to 21 of this same chapter, Romans 5, 18 to 21. And we should be getting an idea of what's happened in what Christ did for us to purchase our salvation. Verse 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offence of one," that was by Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And remember, there's only life in the body of Christ through the blood of Christ. Remember that. Verse 18 says, "It's by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation." Once sin entered into the world, judgment had to come upon sin, because a righteous God judges sin. "And it came upon all men to condemnation." That's where the condemnation came. On all men. That judgment resulted in a condemnation on sin. And condemnation talks about this is what happens if you've sinned. The wrath of God abideth upon those that sin. So we see that judgment came, but there was a solution. By the righteousness of one, that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men. Now, I can extend a gift out to a person, but if they don't receive that gift, if they don't take that gift, then it's of no use. It's the same. God has given a free gift. We didn't have to earn. In fact, we couldn't earn our salvation. We couldn't pay that debt of sin, but Jesus Christ could, and he's given that free gift out. He's saying, "Here's a gift. Believe on me, trust in me, and you can have eternal life." As it says there, "unto justification of life." Justification means a legally made right with God. The debt has been paid. You're legally made right with God. Of life, of course, that's eternal life. Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," sinners are servants of sin, "so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." It means right in the eyes of God, and you're a servant of God now. You're a servant of Christ. Verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." In other words, God's favour, God's blessing has been extended, abounded towards us. Verse 21, "that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Glory to God. We now have eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, and we have to see, as Christians, as believers, we have to see the value, the preciousness of the blood of Christ, that he has paid that debt, he has saved us from the wrath of God. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 7, verse 11. Psalm 7, verse 11. "If a person stays a sinner, then they also stay under the judgment and condemnation." So the sin problem must be dealt with in this life, now, before it is set after death. After death, it's set. There's no way that a person can escape from where they're going. Now, of course, if we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you die, you'll go to heaven. You will be with God forever, praise the Lord. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, the wages of sin is death, and you'll perish. Psalm 7, verse 11, says, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, there's the righteous and the wicked. There's only two groups on the earth today. Those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and those who haven't. We must understand this. So God is angry with the wicked every day. His anger. And now God has kept back the fullness of his wrath at the moment. But sooner or later, and just before the end of the world, there's going to be a great outpouring of wrath. But sooner or later, that sin must have its condemnation fully manifested. Now, it can be in a person's life throughout their life. It can be also after they die and go to hell. It can be as a part of the general wrath of God upon sin on the earth today. But see, we understand that we've been saved from wrath by his blood. Praise the Lord. And it also tells us, remember we talked about reconciliation, being reconciled to God. That means we have been made at peace with God. And we read this in Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at that. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. God is no longer angry with us because sin has been dealt with. And that is a wonderful thing to understand. Colossians, looking at chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. Verse 19, once again we see the blood is mentioned. It's a crimson thread right through the New Testament. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So it says here, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus Christ gives peace between us and God. It gives us the foundation whereby we can have a relationship with God. You see, you can't. If I was an enemy with a person, or they were enemies with me, it's hard to have a good relationship with that person, isn't it? Because there's no reconciliation there. And it's the same if there's something in the way between you and God, that's sin, and sin is by no means a small thing, you cannot have a proper relationship with God. That's why to have that relationship with God, sin must be dealt with. There has to be peace between you and God made. And we see how that peace has been accomplished in verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, that's by Jesus Christ, to reconcile, it means make right, bring you into fellowship and friendship with God, all things unto himself. And verse 21 says that ye were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. So before we were in Christ, we were in the category of wicked, sinful, separated, under sin. And that's the way God shows it to us. But now verse 22 says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You've been reconciled now. You've been reconciled and God wants to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. God's not holding anything against you now because the price has been paid. There's no wrath of God against you now because the price has been paid. Now what happens if a Christian sins now? It's important that you understand that if a Christian sins, there is still judgment on sin, and so there are still consequences related to sin. So what should you do if you sin? Let's say you told a lie or you did something wrong. Well, this is what you should do. Look at 1 John chapter 1. And you should do it immediately. Don't wait a week before you do this. If you sin, and really, the longer you are in Christ, the less and less should sin have any hold over you, because we're servants of God, no longer servants of sin. But if you do sin, God has given you a way to stay reconciled, to stay cleansed before Him. And this is what it says in 1 John chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 7 to 9. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So if you remain in the light, then you've got that continual fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Keeps us cleansed. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's cleansing available. But you know, you can't just have unconfessed sin. You can't say, well, you know, the Lord understands that, I sinned. Now, God wants you to confess it before Him, ask for forgiveness, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So run to God, not away from Him. You're a child of God now, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again. You're a child of God, so run to God. And if there is sin that needs to be dealt with, confess it to God, not to man, to God. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. There's cleansing available. That requires us to be honest before God. And I would assume that those who are born again would desire to be honest people, not try to hide things in their life, but want to be honest before God and with others, and desire that fellowship with God continually. Okay? Desire that. And so continually we're having that cleansing in our lives so that we are fellowshipping with God. Praise the Lord. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. It says, to you who believe, He is precious, and His blood is precious. Now we're going on to the next part, part four, the value of the blood of Christ. I want us to see in that next part about the position that we've been placed in Christ by the blood of Christ. And we'll learn that through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, through His blood, we've been made, what the Bible says, kings and priests. Praise the Lord. So I pray that you're starting to see more and more the value of the blood of Christ. It is absolutely crucial for us in our salvation, crucial for us in our continual walk with God, to see what has been accomplished. Praise the Lord. And so today we looked at the wrath of God. We've been saved from the wrath of God, which is upon sin. And we see that the value of the blood of Christ is that it's through His blood that we've been reconciled to God. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, for making that wonderful payment of sin for sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we thank You for that. And Lord, we see Jesus is precious and His blood is precious. And Father, I pray that all of us would more and more have a revelation deep within us about this and not take our salvation for granted, but see that it cost the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us and rose again from the dead for us. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we open ourselves to You in the name of Jesus. We know that You have us on Your mind. and that you want to bless us because we are now part of your kingdom, your family. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. The Lord says, my blessing is available to my people. My blessing is available to those who trust and believe and walk in the light. With thanksgiving, Lord, that we just thank you and praise you for what's been accomplished in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God, amen. We're looking at